Okay. So not only is this session one of a five-week class called Meditation 101, it is an adventure that we are all going on, and I hope that all of you choose to continue showing up. And that's a mystery because not only is this session one, it's my first time teaching Meditation 101. So we're all on this bus together. Thank you. So I'm going to start by referring to the experts. And there are some books in our bookstore that some people have found helpful. And what I'm going to do is once I show them to you, I'm just going to hand them to Cody and you can just pass them around and see if there's anything that strikes your fancy. How to Meditate is by a person named Kathleen McDonald. Her ordained name is Dorje Kadro. She is just this incredible scholar that just does it from the bottom up and has a very nice way of explaining this. Karun Katen is a long-term practitioner and a psychotherapist who tries to use mindfulness in his practices in terms of helping people focus so they can be clearer about what they want out of life. For scientists or anyone, actually the teens love this book. And it's Buddha's Brain, so it looks at a lot of the new neuroscience and how even though we have some pretty deep grooves in our brains, they can be rerouted. And I know nothing about this except that it comes extremely highly recommended, and anyone that can teach me anything about the joy of living, you know, yippee. So let me start these around. Okay, so I've already made one mistake, so the microphone is on now. Then the next thing is cell phones off or on vibrate or whatever. You know, if you have kids at home or whatever and you need it to ring, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Safety first. Talking about safety, if you go out that door and turn to the left, you will see the men's room and the women's room. Let's see. This, actually, it's funny. These notes are wonderful because it says this altar, which is A-L-T, and it's spelled A-L-T-E-R, which I love because this altar behind me that is just full of tons of images and one very venerable nun who I have great respect for refers to it as Buddha Bling. But it's all there to help you alter your mind. So if it works for you, yes, there's other traditions that are very simple and look at a blank wall. So in our tradition, images that we can have in our mind, kind of the more busier the better and the more colorful. But that just happens to be Tibetan culture. Excuse me, commercial interruption. There is a course called Discovering Buddhism. So this is not a Buddhism course. This is about meditation, and it's about the techniques that the Buddha taught, some of which predated him by thousands, you know, hundreds of years. But if you're interested in Buddhism, we teach a Discovering Buddhism course in a set of modules that I believe just started last night. But it's... You can always come. There's no, you know, even if you feel a little bit lost, if it's positive for your mind, show up. As I said, my name is Kondo. I have been studying the Dharma since 2001. I ordained, my paint's still wet. I just ordained 10 months ago as a Buddhist nun. And which is pretty amazing because I thought I wanted to do it, but, you know, it's not a one-way street. Somebody else has to say it's a good idea. And so I was pretty stunned when my teacher agreed with me. It's like, oh, no. Prior to becoming a nun and prior in my professional life, I was a clinical social worker for 30 years. And and one would think, therefore, I knew something about the mind, but Buddhism has taught me a lot more about my mind in terms of being able to, I guess, be the kind of person my dog wants me to be, you know, or that my dog already is, whatever. So, and what I want to say to everybody here is, that as a way before I ask people to introduce themselves, is that what has been the great gift to me about studying meditation and about Buddhism is that there has never, ever been any requirement to do it perfectly. There's never, ever even been any requirement to do it all the time. What I have always just been encouraged to do is just do it. Whether it's 1 minute a day, 2 minutes a day, and if I haven't done it for a week, to not throw out the baby with the bathwater and to say there's no reason I can't do it for a minute today. And so that was a great gift to me, and it's probably one of the reasons I'm still sitting on this cushion. So that's enough about me. If anybody has any questions as the class goes on, I will certainly attempt to answer them to the best of my ability. And now I guess it's time for us to ask you to introduce yourself so I have some idea about who's here and what, so I guess it's your name, why you're interested in showing up. I'm baffled about some of the faces I see in this room because they know more about meditation than I do. So I don't know about some of the other people, you know, tons more. So why you're interested in, you know, what, just a brief thing about what you hope to get out of it. Thanks. And anywhere you want to start.
Hi, everyone. My name's Heather Scott. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I am here primarily because I have been avoiding a meditation practice for a great many years, even though it's been suggested by a lot of people I respect. So I have finally decided to make it a part of my life.
Hi, my name is Carol, and I came to the Buddhism in a Nutshell class to finish that, and this is sort of a continuum. I read a few books in the last couple of years, but now I have an opportunity to come to some of these classes, and I started last night's class as well.
My name's Eric. I know nothing about Buddhism. I'm a complete newbie at this. I'm just up for new experiences. My friend here has been a little bit through the Buddhism lifestyle, but he'll tell you about it.
Thank you for that great lead-in. My name's Todd, and I used to practice a lot more, and recently I realized that I've been a lot more stressed and that I'm trying to regain some of the little bit of the peace that I used to appreciate.
Oh, and if you want to pass, that's fine.
Hi, my name is Emily. I am completely new to meditation and just kind of looking for something to do. I'm a massage therapist, and I thought this would be a good thing for me to kind of practice so that I can tell my clients about it.
My name's Taylor. I go to Meredith College, and I'm just here to observe, to write a paper. So.
My name is Dwight, and I'm here to sharpen my meditation skills and see how maybe other people do it, try to broaden my horizons. And it seems like a pretty good lead-in to the Kadampa Center. I like what I feel here, and this was suggested as a good way to be introduced.
I'm Jim, and I'm just here to observe. My name is Sean. I've really have been interested in this for quite some time, and I've have some anger management issues, and I'm hoping this will help me out with that.
My name is Helen, and I also have stress in my life, and I'm hoping that I can learn to feel peace. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm Dennis, and I've been interested in meditation on and off for quite a while. Never really got very good at it, so I'd like to perhaps get a little bit more practice in meditation. And some friends suggested that we come here.
I'm Joanne, and I've been interested in meditation for a number of years, and I did a silver mind control many years ago to get you in the groove, and I'd like to learn more.
Hi, my name's Eric. I guess I'm here just to find out more about meditation and see what other people do and how to get better at it. I've heard about it over the years and tried it, and it's really hard.
Hello, I'm Darren. I was also in the Buddhism in a Nutshell, of course. I'm mainly here just to see what's next.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hemant. I'm a member of Kadampa Center. And all I can say is meditation has helped me tremendously in many things. At work, being productive, positive mindset calms me down. And you get those episodes when you lose your mind, but little techniques that can help you realize what you're doing. And it's just a great way to get your mind in balance. So I'm here as an observer, but at the same time to learn more.
He's a plant. I have a couple of plants because I'm so new at this. So if I falter, there are people with lots of experience to help carry it forward.
My name is Carolyn. I am a practitioner of contemplative prayer in the Christian tradition, and I'm curious to see how the two interweave.
That's wonderful. Thomas Berry is one of my favorite people in centering prayer. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Jorge. I have practiced in the past, and I come today with a blank slate to strengthen my meditation again.
My name is Herman. Started the course last night in Buddhism. Very interested in it. I just came back from Nepal and Bhutan, and I had a wonderful experience there. So it really, you know, told me to seek more about the Buddhism. And in terms of meditation, I've never meditated, but I know that it's supposed to be wonderful. So I'm here to learn how to do it and give it a chance to, you know, get all the benefits that it's supposed to give.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sudhi, and I meditate daily, but not much, and I'm always interested to learn more about it. So that's why.
Thank you.
I'm Kalita, and I'm basically a sponge here to learn.
I'm Rose. I'm a member of Kadampa Center, but I struggle mightily with meditation, and so I need to learn to do it better. I'm convinced of its potential benefit, but just can't seem to do it. So.
My name is Jamie. I just want to learn more about meditation.
My name is Marina, and I need to learn more about meditation. I just can't do it.
My name is Ashley, and I'm a fairly new member here, and I just want to learn as much as I can so I can share it with my family. And
I'm Cody, and I've been studying martial arts about 22 years, something like that. So I've kind of been around it.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I got into some yoga about a year ago, and this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
following directions.
Hey, my name's Jill, and I've been a member for, since 2008 here at the center. So I have a lot of anxiety myself and a lot of nervousness, so it's been amazing. The meditation's helped me a lot. Relationships, family, work, everything.
She's been very kind. She's my coach.
I'm Sonia. I've done some meditation, usually in terms of, or along with yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just here to practice more and calm the mind, hopefully.
Hi, I'm Nora, and I would love to learn how to meditate.
Hi, my name is Ivan. I have been interested in meditation for a couple of years, but never tried it. And 2 weeks ago, I just researched on the internet, and I saw that you were going to have this course, so I decided to give it a try.
I'm Elizabeth, and I think much like Helen and like you, there's been a lot of anxiety and turmoil and anxiety happens in my life, and I know that if something doesn't change, then Cheris is going to be representing me shortly.
Hi, I'm Cheris.
I'll be representing Elizabeth.
Elizabeth posted this notice at work that they were going to have this class, and our jobs are very stressful, and I was just very interested in what peace this might could bring.
Hi, I'm Melissa. I would just like to learn more about meditation and find ways to incorporate it into my daily life.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I just want to learn more about meditation.
My name is Zach. I came to the Nutshell course and meant to come last night, but I couldn't make it, so I didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so I decided to come tonight.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I also went to the Buddhism in a Nutshell course, so I'm just here to continue on.
That's great. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And a gentleman came in, I think. Nope. Nope. Okay. That's fine. Good enough. Okay. Well, my aspiration for myself and all of you over the next few weeks, if we, whoever decides to remain with us, you know, with it, is that we have an experience of having a wiser, kinder and wiser mind that we see show up once in a while during the day. And we have some fun and we laugh, because I find that that's really good for my endorphins, and laughter is one of my best meditations, so I hope that we get to do some of that together. Before we do our first meditation experience, I'm going to be asking people kind of, you know, for what their experience is and what their questions are, and I've been told that people are very, very quiet and very, very hesitant to share anything. Well, just from what all of us shared a little bit, is obvious all of us have an experience with very busy minds. And therefore, it would be really hard for me to believe that no one has any thoughts that they might want to share. So, I will be encouraging everyone to kind of be part of the process, to whatever takes best care of them. So for, let's just test the water. So for the first thing I'd like us to be able to do is do just a very brief meditation in terms of getting to know, you know, introducing ourselves to our minds, and just be comfortable. You know, there's all sorts of rules about proper posture, and we'll get all into all of that, but just be in the position that is the most comfortable for you to, let's say, sit fairly quietly for maybe the next 5 minutes. So I invite you, if it works for you, to lightly close your eyes or keep your eyes open, whatever. Again, that's going to vary for each of us. most people find keeping their eyes like slightly closed kind of decreases some of the stuff coming in. And, you know, the one thing I heard from everybody here is that everyone came here with an incredibly positive motivation, a way of kind of being calmer inside, being kinder to themselves, and more skillful in terms of how they interact with other people as a result of just being a little calmer inside. So in a sense, everyone here has already set a wonderful, wonderful motivation for being here tonight. And I just invite you for just a second to rejoice in the fact that you came and that you have such positive intentions towards yourself and other beings. So we spend a lot of time in our minds, and it's sometimes hard to come back to just the body. So what I'd like to invite you to do for the next few minutes is just start paying attention to your body. So, you know, you're sitting, everyone has this beautiful posture. I see kind of, you know, back straight and kind of being present. And just be aware, are you really stiff in doing this, or are you just kind of sitting there naturally? And begin to notice where your body, you know, touches the chair, touches the pillow, how your feet are planted on the earth. Just be present to feeling what you're doing right now is sitting. You're just sitting. Now, so as you feel the contact with the earth and hopefully some groundedness with that, then slowly and at your own speed, move your attention up through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body. You know, notice if your feet are trying to go to sleep. Notice if maybe your knees are a little bit stiff. Or it's really kind of nice to be here and just be still for a minute. We spend so much of our days so busy. And if you can, note where there's areas of tension and see if you can give it permission to relax, to just let go a little bit. So come upward through your legs and your hips. Notice how your body takes up, you know, some space in the world. As you come up to your chest, just notice the rising and falling of your chest as you inhale and exhale. Stay here for a few breaths. So keep moving upward, you know, and pay attention to your face. You know, is there tension in the jaw? You know, is your neck a little bit stiff? If you need to wiggle your head a little bit, you know, if it kind of feels like it's loosening it up, go ahead. Just continue to notice. And as you come up, you know, as you're coming up, do you notice more of a sense of a lightness? I mean, you know, when we pay attention to being seated on the ground, there's kind of a groundedness. As we move up in our body, do we experience a little more lightness? You know, your ears and your nose and your eyes, and just paying attention, relaxing them, coming to the crown of your head. When you're paying attention to the crown of your head, do your thoughts shift a little bit? Do you notice some differences? Now slowly move your attention back down through your body in the same way. You know, relaxing your forehead, you know, letting your eyes just be gently closed or open. Your jaw and your mouth somewhat relaxed. Paying attention to the breath. Allowing the breath to sink and come back down in contact, you know, and feeling grounded in the earth. You know, if you're sitting on the floor, the sense of your hips and your legs grounded on the floor. If you're seated in a chair, you know, your feet just really there and supporting you. Now just take a minute and rejoice that you've taken a few minutes to just say hello to your mind and your body, and to say hello to your mind and your body, and to create some space for it to just be, and dedicate this positiveness for your benefit, and for all the beings in your life that you come in contact with. And if you want to expand it out, include all beings. And when you're ready, you know, just kind of come back to the room. And then we'll go on. So everybody kind of take a big breath and shake themselves out. I don't know if anybody relaxed a little bit, or, you know, just hopefully I won't go to sleep on anybody. Nothing like just plunging right in. I'm sure everybody has heard the old phrase, you know, before you get angry, count to 10. And so, in a sense, everybody's familiar with this next exercise, because what we're going to do is it's really, well, I'll talk about that in a minute in terms of meditation, but one of the reasons I think a lot of people have problems with meditation or get very frustrated with it is they've been told that they're supposed to make their minds a blank and kind of not think. Well, I haven't succeeded in doing that yet. But one way of kind of slowing the chatter down is to just focus on something as simple as your breath. You know, counting one on an inhale and, you know, each inhale, and seeing if you can stay with the count without thinking about too much else up until the count of 10. Now, that doesn't sound very high. I don't know if anybody is familiar, he's not in our tradition, but anybody is familiar with a person by the name of Jack Kornfield? Okay, insight meditation, one of the great Western gurus of insight meditation. He says he's never gotten to 10 without losing kind of that absolute focus on the breath. So, so kind of be very gentle on yourself. So the next exercise we're going to do is I'm just going to walk you through counting your breath in as a way of an experiment to see if choosing to think about that something that simple and that focused can kind of let go of some of the anxiety and the chatter going on. Okay? So everybody, we've continue with our positive intention that we've already set, and start just by focusing on the opening of your nostrils. And, you know, it's really subtle breathing in and out. You know, when the air starts to come in, sometimes it's a little bit cooler. It can sometimes tickle a tiny bit, and as it comes in, you know, it gets warmer. So just pay attention to that as you inhale and count one. And don't try to hold the breath. Breathe very naturally. And when you're done, you know, when you're ready, just exhale. And so what you do is on each count, on each inhale, you're going to count one. If you find you get to get distracted, just come back to one again. Now, some people suggest when you get to 10, just go back to one and begin again. Some people prefer to count backward to one before they begin again. You experiment with what works for you. And we're just going to take, and if your mind waters, don't worry. Just say, oh, there you go again. Come on back. Let's count. Let's breathe and count, breathe and count. So let's just take a couple of minutes and go at your own speed and count on the inhale and see what happens for you. So, take one more breath. And when you're ready, open your eyes if they've closed and come on. Come back. Okay. So, anything positive? Anything difficult? Anything negative? Anyone want to say, oops, waste of my time, I'm out of here? Feel free. One of my teachers says that he's always says people come here after a hard day at work, or they come here on Sunday when they have so many chores to do to listen to his teachings. And he said, you know, if having bagels and cream cheese and reading the New York Times will make you a happier, kinder being for the rest of the day, please do that. It's about being happier and kinder. So that's the aspiration I have for all of you here. If this works for you, please stay, but please don't feel that there's any obligation to sit and put up with it if you want to leave. So, any experiences anybody wants to share?
Feeling heat.
What? Heat. Oops. We're going to be passing a mic because we're streaming this, and so I know it's a little difficult for people to hesitate, but you really help people join us. Okay, so?
I'm feeling heat.
Heat?
Warm.
Relaxed? Okay. Okay, anybody else? Anything else? Good reach.
She's fine. I found it really interesting, especially the first part that you were doing as far as feeling grounded and then being brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And then this particular exercise with counting, I actually felt it very difficult because for the last like week or so, I've just been so tense that I'm not doing diaphragm breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, I don't want to say painful, but discomforting to like try to really breathe some deep.
I struggle, like I often struggle, with feeling physical. Well, my back hurts tonight,
right.
But other than that, I always feel something, either my feet or my stomach, discomfort.
Mm.
So I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll start seeing me wiggle in a minute. Yeah, I think that's true of many of us. And I think what's important about that is there's no, even though there's some suggested positions, if you discover there's a way that you can be comfortable for 5 or 10 minutes and not be distracted by it, just do it. Just do it. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Thank you, Dwight, for getting the mic.
I really felt like the way my back was against the bench,
mm-hmm.
as well as like each time I took a breath, how the light on my eyelids changed. And so I was trying not to think about that, but I guess it was still about the breath, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never noticed, I guess, how by taking a deep breath, the light changes within my eyelids. So that was.
I'm sorry, I missed a word.
How the light changes in my eyelids.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, I thought, interesting.
Interesting, the things we discover when we slow down,
yeah,
and
sure.
Watch, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of my plants want to say anything?
I slept good.
You slept really well. Oh, awesome. Well, you've been up since before Buddha and God this morning, right?
The first 2 or 3 breaths, I was more aware of that I'm doing this, I'm here, there are quite a few people here. All those thoughts were there. And then I kept on telling my mind that I need to focus on the breath. And so then I started to feel the sensation in my nose, the cooling effect. And for the last 4 or 5 counts, I really got into it.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it helped me a lot, and I lost all that contact around me. So it does make a difference when you focus on and try to t- tell your mind to go and just think about the breath right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I remember what your this guru said, that he never got to 10. And it happened to me. I mean, I went into it really, I mean, very nicely, very easily. But then, subconsciously, I realized that my thoughts were drifting, or, you know, but I was conscious of it. So I was able to retake it. Yes, but yeah, it was, you know, even tough to get to 10, because you think you're doing it, but suddenly, and very subtly, you realize that your thoughts are, you know, playing tricks on you.
Very well said. Thank you. Anybody?
I found that you using prayer beads to be very effective, and that you actually can go further without thinking something else. However, after you've used them for a while, you can cheat just as nicely with those as anything else. It's really amazing how I can keep my count perfectly and be thinking somewhere off in Kansas, but they can be very, very effective, at least in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have to buckle down and do your homework.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Wonderful. Delighted. Okay, now I'm supposed to give you a lecture. Ugh. Okay. That's what my coach said. So what we're going to talk, I'm going to try and talk about it, and it's fine to interrupt me and ask a question, and I assure you if I don't know the answer or if I'm not comfortable with the answer, I will say so and try and find out. So I guess I'm going to start with a question. Who thinks that meditation means making your mind blank? Anybody in here think that what meditation is to have a completely clear mind with no thoughts in it?
It'd be hard to do, but maybe it could be done.
But I mean, does anybody think that's what meditation is supposed to be?
Just that it wasn't.
Right. Okay. So I say trick question. Okay. Well, see, you believe me now. That Be careful. Okay. So that's the thing that I hear from people is, you know, I just can't keep my mind blank. Okay, so here I am going to talk a tiny bit about the Buddhist concept of the mind, not very complicatedly, but in Buddhism, whether it be, it doesn't matter what tradition, whether there's bling or blank walls, the function of the mind is to cognize. It's to know. It's to think. That's the function of the mind. Okay, if that's the mind's, I mean, if we take that as a hypothesis, and that's the mind's, what it does, well, then it's never not going to think. It just what it does, you know? So what meditation is about is having some control over how you think and what you think about. And so the Tibetan word for meditation is GOM, G-O-M. I have no idea what the characters in Tibetan look like for that. I just know that's how it's pronounced. And all what that means is to become familiar. So what meditation is about from the Tibetan tradition is giving yourself an opportunity to become familiar and to know your mind a little better. Now, where that then goes in their tradition is that the Tibetans don't believe that the nature of your mind is the anxiety and the busyness and the thoughts and the wait till I see that person again. I'm going to give them what for. it's spaciousness and kind of a gentleness with you, with yourself inside. So I would say, everyone says to me, I'm not very good at meditation. I would say that we're all really, 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 really good at having very focused minds. My dilemma before I kind of started trying to study this, and what I share for most of you, is somebody here said they had anger management issues. Well, if you have anger management issues, you're probably really, really good at being focused on the feeling of anger, what you're going to do to fix it, what you're going to say to them, and what your behavior is going to be. That is a very focused meditation. The problem is does it make you happy at the end of it? You know, do you have good relationships with people? Do you feel comfortable with yourself? Probably not, you know. So what this class is about is how to become more familiar with your mind in a way that allows you to be gentler with yourself, a little more wise about what's going on up there, and then maybe an aspiration of how do you take that into the world when you open your mouth next. And it seems to me that that might fit with what people said what they were wanting to get out of this class. I'm checking that out. Does it seem to fit with kind of what I heard? Might not. So when we talk about meditation from a Buddhist perspective, what we're talking about is, how do you pay attention to what's going on in your mind, and what are some techniques to do that lessen the negative states and increase the positive states? Cody said he felt warm and maybe a little relaxed. Well, in my book, that's a positive state. You know, might not be in his, but I would suggest most of us kind of like feeling a little bit relaxed. So, and the truth is we're all trying to be happy. I mean, it's one of the things that the Dalai Lama says, and the Buddha said, is that even though a lot, we may not agree with what people are doing to try to make themselves happy, most people's behavior, most of the time, including the cockroach in my kitchen that's checking things out, is they're trying to be as happy as they can be. Now, the dilemma is when people are doing that or the cockroach is doing it, it sometimes interferes with what I want. So how do I skillfully live in the world where at least 100 times a day I'm going to come in contact with someone or some being, human or otherwise, attempting to be happy, and it certainly interferes with my wanting to be happy, with what I want to do at the moment to be happy. So meditation really helps us get acquainted with our inner world, and where I would point that out that happened here is someone saying, you know, I was able to count the breath and then I found the mind drifting off. Well, what we begin to do is start to pay attention to where it's drifting and say, okay, come on back. And you begin to find a pattern, you know, of where things drift. But if you never sit down and stop, you never begin to kind of learn about that pattern a little bit. So that's what we're going to be trying to do here. And there's no magic bullet. You know, when I was reading through this course outline, cause this organization gives you a nice course outline, and there's all sorts of stuff about tell people to try it every day for 10 minutes, and this is your homework, and do this and do that. And I come back to, and I just want to encourage people, if you don't do, I would encourage you to try it for 5 or 10 minutes every day. We'll talk about what to try as we get further into the hour. But if you get to next Tuesday afternoon and go, oh, I haven't done a thing since last Tuesday, but being here was a slightly positive experience for you, and you walked away, just come. There's No one gets kicked out of class for not doing their homework. And I think that one of the things about meditation is we become more familiar and we become more focused in terms of choosing what we're thinking about, staying with what we're thinking about, and having some satisfaction in what we're thinking about, is it's really an amazing way to realize how amazing it is that we're these human beings with these brains and this capacity to make a choice. And, you know, we don't have to be out flying around all night looking for food, you know. So, and another way of thinking about meditation is it's really kind of watching, if they call it metacognition, it's kind of watching your own thinking and going, yeah, that's not useful. I think we'll shift. And it is a way of changing, you know. Every time you step away from traffic is always a favorite one to talk about. You know, every time you step away from not getting mad at the long light or all of the things that can be frustrating when you're trying to get somewhere on time, every time you step away from that and don't get yourself cranked up about it, it really changes what happens in terms of what your synapses do. I mean, people kind of, it's like, oh, that really can't be true. But even changing a behavior once and recognizing that there was a slightly different outcome begins a new neural pathway. Now, it takes, you know, lots of practice before your mind automatically goes down that path. You know, I don't know. Is anybody in here a lifeguard when they were kids? Ever did do lifeguard saving? Okay. I don't know about, you know, but when you learn how to rescue people, you know, when you learn how to all the moves, you practice it until there's no thought, right? It's like your muscles, you don't have to think about it. Your muscles know what to do. Well, if that can happen, what we think and how we think and our feelings can also change with practice. It's kind of hard to believe, but it can happen. So, I'm supposed to have a poster. I don't. So, no, it's not. No, I was supposed to get the poster. It's not your job. I was supposed to get the poster, and I didn't do it. Yeah. So you're going to have to put up with my mental description. But actually, I do have an audiovisual. And my audiovisual is Jill. So, Jill, would you do me a favor, and would you bring a cushion up here? And would you do me a favor rather than... I'm going to ask you to face people, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to the side. Would you mind doing that?
Face
the people. Yeah, face. And then at some point I'll ask you to turn to the side. Okay? So this is...
bad posture to start with.
Oh, anything you want. Anything, you know, whatever. So it's called the 7-point meditation posture. And... I think it's been in existence probably for maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years. I mean, it predates. I mean, it's, yeah, you know. And each thing we're going to introduce has a function in terms of supposedly comfort, but I haven't discovered all of those things yet. But in a way of eliminating kind of extraneous stuff that keeps you from paying attention to your mind and your breath. So the first thing is when you sit, you want to be stable. The position I'm in right now, which at the moment is really quite comfortable, but it's not really very stable. I mean, somebody could come up and go like this, or, you know, I couldn't be in this, you know.
Like this.
Whatever. So, thank you. Thank you very much. Good illustration. So the notion is that what you want to do with your legs is the ideal, which I have never, ever been in, is what they call the full Vajra, the full lotus position, which is your feet on your thighs, you know, both feet. And she can do it. I think, actually, yeah, she's done it. Okay, that's never happened to me. And it's not happened to a lot of people that are very long-term successful meditators. And one of the reasons it's suggested is because it's very stable. I mean, you can kind of, as Hemant was saying, kind of be somewhere else and kind of have floated away, and you're not going to fall over if you're sitting like that. But most of us, sit, would you show them the various variations? You can sit like that. You can stack them, or actually they both can be just, mine usually are just,
if you crisscross though, you can put your legs to sleep.
Yeah, you can, but for some people it works, you know, or one kind of out. So just find something that's fairly stable that works for you. And if a chair works for you, that's fine too. I would be, okay, and I was talking about being comfortable. My favorite place to meditate is, I have a recliner. And it has a very straight back, so I don't do very well without some support after a while. And it's big enough that my knees can be crossed. And I can sit there much longer than I can sit on a cushion. And so I'm not suggesting that that's what people should do, but that's what kind of is able to allow you to be present and not worry too much about what the body is doing. Go for it. Jack Kornfield says, I don't care if you use a lawn chair and sleep. Not sleep, in kind of you're in position. It's just about giving yourself a place where you can just stop and you feel comfortable enough to just stop for a little while. And if that means your lawn chair, go for it. Your arms in the traditional 7-point posture are a little tiny bit away from your body. You know, not in an exaggerated way, but just kind of gently. You're not hugging, okay? Some of that is just, it's purely practical. It's circulation. It lets some air through. And also, again, is a little bit kind of more stable in terms of the energy points, kind of letting everything to kind of flow and communicate. Jill is perfect. Now, this is where you need to turn and face me, because I think people can see your back better. And is she, you want your back to be somewhat stacked. And if you can, kind of drop your shoulders. You know, it's not like, no, you're not, you know, you're not sitting at attention. It's just, you know, kind of very gently. And again, comfortable. Your eyes, the ideal is to have them kind of, you're gonna, if I can go, some people have dots for noses. I have quite the beak, so it's very easy for me to look down my nose at an angle. But to kind of have your gaze being kind of coming off the ski slope of your nose. And to a kind of a point you feel comfortable a little bit before. If it works best to close your eyes, fine, but the notion is to kind of just have them somewhat half closed, kind of here, but not kind of an unfocused, not focusing directly on anything. And, oops, glasses. And jaw, your mouth, again, as relaxed as it can be, you know, your jaw relaxed, your teeth slightly apart, not clenched, and your tongue is going to be on your palate at the back of your teeth, if, again, that might not be comfortable for you. And one of the reasons why is there are people that sit for, like, I mean, I'm not one of them, but I mean, and I'm not saying some people here might be, there are people that sit for 9 and 10 hours. And nuts. Just keeps the spit running down your throat instead of out of your mouth.
Drooling.
Yeah, right. So, and your head is just tilted kind of slightly, because this kind of actually gets a little, you'll notice, even if you straight, it gets a little bit uncomfortable, you know, just kind of slightly kind of tilted with, you know, again, this kind of in sync with the ski nose, the ski slope of your nose. Did I miss anything, Coach? Anything you'd add?
Back of the head is...
Slightly, yeah.
One thing to help.
Okay, so, go ahead. I demonstrate prop because my legs don't go to sleep as fast, you know, and stuff. So if you would add anything, please go. Okay. So an experiment with that. Again, and also I think I didn't do this. I have to back up and apologize. There will be 11 handouts in this class. They are all online for you to download. Everything I have done tonight in terms of the body scan, the counting the breath, the 7-point posture are all handouts online. Any techno people in here that can tell other people how to find that? That's already, have already done it, or do I need one of my plants? Everybody knows what I'm talking. No, would you explain where? Thank you, Jill. Appreciate it.
If you go on the website, let's see, how do you get to the classes? Spiritual classes, I think, and then the meditation 101 will be listed there. And then when you go click on that, it just keeps taking you through, and then you'll see all the handouts. So it's really pretty easy. It's on that left margin, like a menu, and that most people usually have found it.
Okay, so we've done about the posture. The other thing is, well, I'm actually just going to get up and do something. Excuse me. Let's see. There's all sorts of different shapes of meditation cushions, and everybody kind of experiments with what works for them. This is one of the most common. A lot of people are sitting on it. It kind of helps your butt kind of be a little bit higher with your knees forward. That seems to be a comfortable thing to do. This one doesn't work for me. This is the one, for some reason, the square thing, even though it doesn't look that much different, I can sit longer. Other people need higher cushions. A lot of people, this is the kind of thing she was talking about as a prop, you know, to put this under one knee when you're on the cushion. So experiment with what works for you. Let's see. And there's myriad. There's... It's a big business, you know, it's a big business, you know, so go online, find, well, you know, sorry, you know, but you find out what, you know, kind of works for you. Comfortable clothes, obviously, think, bless, what is that new thing? What is the new fabric? Obviously, I'm not using it, that's in jeans now. Spandex, right, you know, I mean, so either, you know, spandex enables you to sit down in tight jeans or leggings that you never would have ever been able to do before comfortably, because talk about your legs going to sleep, oh my gosh. But, you know, loose clothes, whatever works for you, something that's going to make you physically comfortable or cool. One meditation teacher told me, and this may be too much detail, said to a friend of mine who kept taking her sweater on and off and in a class, saying, "Dear, that's why we have shawls. They're so easy to come on." So, take good care of yourself and go find something that makes you feel really, really comfortable to sit in. I think pajamas are wonderful. And so that's my take on it. So that brings us into our next little lesson. And it's 8:06. Wow, time-wise, I'm not doing too bad. Time management is not one of my skills. but it's good having my coach here. So our next kind of exercise or exploration is going to be a little bit kind of trying to take what we did with being aware of your body and a little bit aware of your breath and just kind of seeing what's going on up there, but without grabbing hold of it, kind of noticing it and going, anybody here like the beach or the mountains? Anybody? Okay. Okay. So everyone is familiar with this exercise. Really, you really are. You're at the beach. You hear the sound of the waves, or you're in the mountains, you know, and it's kind of, you know, even in the mountains, it's kind of warm, but it's not too hot. You're at the beach. There's a nice breeze. It's warm. It's not too hot, right? And these clouds are going by. And it's like you're kind of conscious. You know you're going by, and you're kind of watching them. But just kind of enjoying them go by, you know? Well, think about your thoughts the same way. Just suggestion. That's one. If it works for you, fine. If it doesn't, well, come talk to me. We'll try and come up with another thing. Is that a spider coming down to see you? Spiders and mice love gompas. I just to tell you this, don't be surprised. We're very good about not having the mice interfere with anybody, but it doesn't matter how many times we put them in their little traps, you know, the little nice things, and we take them somewhere else and introduce them to a new home. They have already told their friends, and they just love so. What? It's just the way it is, you know. Whatever. So, but think about that. It's just, you're just not going to hold on to them. They're going to come. All of those thoughts are going to come. It's like just, so this is what exercise is about, just trying to kind of accept the fact that the thoughts are going to come and we don't have to latch on to them. Okay? So, and this also will be a handout for you. And this is going to take, what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of introduce it and then try to walk you verbally into a space of being there. And then for about probably 3 or 4 minutes, just let you, you know, as you can, watch your thoughts, let them go, watch your thoughts, let them go. If you need to come back to counting the breath because it's getting too chattery in there, go ahead. But that's what we're going to try and do. Okay? Any questions? Any questions about what little bit I've said before we start this? Okay. So, do the best you can to get comfortable. Breathe naturally. Give yourself a minute to think about your meditation that, your whole purpose in being here tonight is to have a more positive mental state for the benefit of yourself. Benefit of other beings. Again, let's start by focusing our attention at the opening of our nostrils. And again, pay very close attention to the sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel the air as it passes over the small hairs. The cooler sensation on inhale, slightly warmer as you exhale, stay with the breath in and out of your nostrils, you know. Kind of a small, contained bit of focus and awareness. Think of yourself as a gatekeeper, just watching the breath flow past as it enters and exits the body. You know, keenly observing what arises. You know, as someone mentioned, easier watching her breath than taking a deep breath, there was more light behind her eyes. If it helps to say in on the inhale and out on the exhale, to kind of keep that focus. The breath is your anchor. It's the anchor for your attention. Now this may be just where you stay, just staying anchored with your breath to kind of ground your mind and focus. But distractions will come up. You may have a thought. You may have an external sensation. Your back might ache, cramp in your leg. You know, just say, oh, thinking, cloud, or sensation. Come, let it go, let it pass. Because just as the breath arises, inhales and exhales, our thoughts and our sensations arise and pass away. And if it becomes comfortable being here, just in this space of just watching things arise and pass away, just, you know, allow yourself to watch as they kind of come and go. And notice, maybe, what kinds of thoughts kind of come to your mind? For some people, it's a list of things they have to do tomorrow. For other people, it's a list of things that didn't go right. For some people, it's a conversation that they want to have. Just kind of notice and let it go. So let's just take a couple of minutes here, and if you find yourself engaging, just come back to the breath. It's always there. When you're ready, slowly come back. Any questions? Any comments?
Like just in general?
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, please. Would you mind? Just thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I was just wondering if you suggested, like in a morning routine, to do this before or after exercising, to do meditation.
I think that's a great experiment.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great experiment. Some people say I've got to do it as soon as I get up before I leave the house because if I don't, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, you know, even just exercising is kind of a very focusing
mm-hmm.
thing, and so it might be more positive. So I think it's a great experiment to find out.
Okay.
There's my big thing is when am I most likely to do it, and if I don't set it at that particular time, when I get later in the day, it can kind of get lost in the shuffle. So that's, but yeah, that's a great experiment. You'll find out. I'll ask you next week.
Okay. I also just wanted to ask one more question.
Mm-hmm.
When you said to breathe in and out through your nose, like I've heard different things about how to breathe, and I'm
mm-hmm.
so used to being taught to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. I just noticed when I was observing you that you were doing it through your nose, and I know
mm-hmm.
it gets to that point, but is it okay to do it either way, or?
That's a really good question. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth taps different energy channels. I'm not knowledgeable enough to tell you exactly which ones, but it does. But, you know, unless your nose is stuffed up.
Mm-hmm.
But breathing in and out through your nose is the as I know it, there's this energy channel that runs through, well, there's 17,000 energy channels in your body, but there's two that run on either side of kind of your main energy channel. And one of the things that happens by breathing in and out through your nostrils is you're really kind of staying clear with them. And you introduce a different variable in terms of energy channels that can be beneficial, but it's slightly different when you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. One technique that I don't even think will get you here is that if you find your mind keeps being disturbed, you know, after you've counted into the breath, when you get, you know, let's say that, you know, kind of tennis, because this is a very relieving kind of way of in a way clearing negative energy, you know, kind of negativity, negative energy. And so, but I don't know if that answered, that's really just a half answer to your question.
Can you tell us a little bit about your own experience with meditation? When did you start it? How did you learn it? The effects that it has brought to you?
Okay.
What is your own experience?
Okay. I've been trying to do that. I hope I've done that a little bit, you know, sharing that I use a recliner sometimes. Mm. Buddhist meditation heresy 101. okay, but what I want to give everybody a choice. We could do the bare attention again, you know, for another 5 minutes, or we can skip that. I can talk about what you're going to do during the week, and I can take a few minutes to talk about my meditation practice. I open it up to the class. I just don't want to, you know, I can always share with you afterwards if people would prefer to do bare attention again, or would people rather just hear a little bit about my own experience. I'm not trying to place anybody on the spot. Any consensus here? I don't want to.
I like
it. Okay. when I said earlier, that it's just because I decided I thought I would like to be a nun, the fact that anybody else thought it was a good idea was, oh my gosh, the rubber's hit the road. And that really has a lot to do with my meditation experience, in the sense that I have meditated on and off. Real brief, somebody talked about, you know, centering prayer and Christian contemplative meditation. I'm a child of the 60s, okay, 65 years old, so I was a hippie, but I was also grew up in the Italian Roman Catholic Church, and Thomas Merton was one of my heroes, and he certainly was into meditation. So I have kind of been in and out with it in terms of attempting to sit and be present to my thoughts in a kind way for many years. But more as an intellectual engagement rather than a practice where my butt was on the pillow every morning. Loved reading about it, and then turned over and turned off the alarm clock and went back to sleep when it was time to get up and sit on the cushion and meditate. And I say that sincerely, and that went on for years and years and years and years. And then in 2001, had the privilege of meeting the Dharma and hearing teachers that instead of telling me that it wasn't any good if I didn't do an hour, it was okay if I only did 2 minutes. And if I didn't do it for a week, but I came back and did it two more minutes a week later, to rejoice in that. And that was the beginning of my willingness to be able to sit. Do I still have an incredible monkey mind that can make grocery lists, that can, as someone said earlier, I can count to 10, think I'm keeping track of counting to 10, make a grocery list, have a conversation with you, and think that I can do mental multitasking, which is kind of a crock for me. What I can share with you about meditation for me is I will sit and I will watch my breath. And we will get into this later in the course. The one thing, the beginning of watching your breath and kind of stabilizing and being mindful is really only the beginning. The purpose of doing that is to be able to skillfully analyze things so you can discover how you want to act. So truly, one of my meditations often to this day that I go to when I can't just sit, and I don't know if this is answering your question or not, I hope it is I will read. I will read, and then I will sit with a phrase or a paragraph and just try to be with it. And so my meditation at this point is a combination of trying to be mindful, trying to be present to the breath, trying to develop some concentration. They'll talk about single-pointed concentration on one thing for, you know, a very long time. I'm not there, you know. But I just keep getting up, dressing up, and showing up and trying to sit on the cushion. And so does that answer your question a little bit? I mean, I'm not trying to be facetious. I mean, and what I will share that I find amazing about that is when I allow myself time to be quiet and, you know, do some of the things that we've tried tonight, it does manifest in my day-to-day life. It manifests sometimes by knowing when to keep my mouth shut. It manifests, not all the time, I haven't gotten that down yet. It manifests in knowing there's so many things I can't fix, but what I can really do is just be present. And be willing to live with the discomfort that I can't fix it, and the greatest gift I can offer is just being present at the moment to the person, and to not discount that as offering something. But if I hadn't learned to sit still a little bit on my own, I never would have gotten to the point where I could have just sat with someone else. So it is 8:30. You have been just so wonderful and so kind to me by just being here. And one of my favorite teachers always walks into a room when he's going to teach saying thank you to everyone, realizing that he couldn't teach if nobody showed up. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So homework. Number one, find a place in your house you like, if you have a place. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, if you've got kids and family and all the things that go with that, I know some people that it's the hamper in the bathroom, you know? Because that's the only quiet place for 2 minutes, you know? And so I go to the website for the handouts, and if you can, you know, the kind of, you know, kind of scanning, seeing if you can kind of get yourself grounded, you know, settle here. The concentration of watching your breath and then watching your thoughts, the clouds, and kind of just letting them go and letting them go. And bring that experience back next week. And guess what? If you don't do any homework at all, I really, really hope you show up next week, and we'll start off the class by doing it anyway. So, there you go. Any other questions before we start? Or comments? If anybody has something they didn't get that, you know, really is important to them, I'm going to be around afterwards. I'm going to recruit my plants. We have to set up the Gampa for Medicine Buddha Puja tomorrow. So anybody that would be willing to help me, you can't. You've got a bad back. Help me rearrange some of the cushions for Medicine Buddha tomorrow at noon. I would be very grateful. And I'm here to answer any questions if anybody has any. And if I don't have the answer, I'll try to find it before next week. Thank you again. And if it was any benefit to you, I rejoice. And if you're thinking it'd be benefit to you again and there's time in your schedule, please come back. Thank you.